Now, in this week's edition of One on One, we talk to the Slovenian thinker Slavoj Žižek, who's been described as the most dangerous philosopher in the West. He criticizes global capitalism and warns of the dangers it presents for today's democracy. Slavoj Žižek recently arrived in Prague to launch a Czech translation of his latest book entitled First Tragedy, Then Farce. Czech Radio's Petr Dudek spoke to Slavoj Žižek during his Prague visit and first asked him about his views on the Occupy Wall Street movement in the US.
First, I don't idealize that movement. It's clear that they're the young people, or not only young people there, they're more or less totally confused. They don't have any clear idea. What is important for me is only this, that for the first time there is kind of a large movement which raises the crucial question about the system itself. It's not only there are, I don't know, corrupted companies which pollute environment, banks which are cheating, whatever. The question clearly became the system as such, what to do with it, or what even some sociologists admit. We have more and more a gap between our institutionalized democratic system and what goes on in economy. Economy, financial speculation, etc., is escaping any democratic control.
When we speak about 1989, we commemorate the 17th of November here in Prague. We all saw it as the end of a totalitarian state and as a return of democracy to then Czechoslovakia or Central Europe in general. You, in your book, First as Tragedy, Then as Farce, refer to the 1989 events as an obscure catastrophe. Is it the right term?
No. First, let me be very clear here. In my own country, I participated in those events. I have no nostalgia for 20th century communism, which is why I ironically refer to Lenin. He wrote one nice text about defeat where he said, when we got stuck, it's like climbing a mountain. You have to go down to the very beginning and start new again. This is the left today, what the left has to do. While I fully sympathize with your Velvet Revolution, the problem is, again, this gap. People expected something. That something was justice, solidarity, freedom, dignity. Of course, we didn't get that. Now, we can read this gap in two ways. The official way, which is, this is simply a question of maturity. People there expected too much. Now we have to learn what really capitalism is. Not only welfare, consumerism, but also hard work and so on. But the fact that people, even in developed countries, are now more and more dissatisfied, that obviously there is something wrong with global capitalist system, this maybe allows us to say that the fight of the Velvet Revolution goes on. The fight is not over. You know what is my main argument here when people accuse me of communist nostalgia? I say, no, take the example of China. Isn't this the wonderful, ironic reply to Fukuyama? Yes, capitalism won, but it looks today as if the best managers of capitalism are communists. Much more efficient than Western liberal democracies. This is what worries me.
In your speech on Wall Street last month, you asked a few questions, but you did not answer. You asked, what social organization can replace capitalism? Do you have an answer?
I'm here extremely honest. No, I don't have a clear answer. All I know is that, A, the answers of 20th century, all of them, not only the two big answers, that is to say, communism and welfare social democracy, but also, you know, this leftist dream of direct democracy, Soviets, councils, local self-organization, also doesn't work. It's not the global answer. All I'm saying is that we will be pushed to do something. When people tell me, oh, you are dreaming, I tell them, no, the true dream is that things can go on indefinitely the way they are. I would say if we can sustain the dream that some kind of Scandinavian welfare state social democracy can gradually extend to entire world. I would be the first to say then, who needs a communist revolution then? What I'm unfortunately saying is that there are, how do you put it, signs on the wall, all around, messages. Ecology, apartheid, new forms of exclusion, and so on. Or even problems like biogenetics, intellectual property.
So to understand you even better, you don't have an answer to your question about a social organization which could replace capitalism. But you are still convinced that there is an urgency to ask such a question.
Precisely.
Capitalism should be replaced by some other social organization.
Not
should
be. The alternative is then a new authoritarian era. It will not be I don't like to use the term fascism. Fascism is something very specific. But, for example, did you notice how the answer to crisis a couple of days ago, was what, both in Greece and Italy, purely apolitical technocratic government. This is a very sad sign how our societies are getting depoliticized. They say, no, technocratic managers should take over. This will be, I think, a vision of new authoritarian system, where democracy may even survive as the forum.
You speak about an authoritarian system. Do you imagine that it would be an authoritarian system led by the technocrats like Mario Monti, for example? Do you understand you right?
Combined with security people, terrorist threat, and so on, and of course with all the freedoms in the private sphere.
But not for the general public.
Up to a point, but also for the general public in the private sphere. You can have your sexual perversities, gay marriages, all that is okay, whatever. But the problem will be the control of the population. What makes me a pessimist is that I think that less and less capitalism itself can afford universal democracy. For example, when people ask me, why are you against global capitalism? I tell them, if you want to talk about global capitalism, don't just focus on the developed country. Let's speak about Congo, which is a nightmare on earth. The state doesn't function.
Absolutely.
But Congo is not excluded. Congo is fully included into global capitalist system. This is we should ask. Why does global capitalism, or what is the dynamic of global capitalism so that in order for us to have a good life, some countries have to be treated like Congo?
Going back to Italy and Spain, for example, Ireland, not only Greece, there seems to be large and enlarging debt crisis in Europe. What do you think about the European integration as an idea?
I always healthy? Defined myself as a leftist Eurocentrist.
Does that mean that you keep your fingers crossed for the European Union?
Absolutely. My solution is here that the one which some social democrats or old leftists are advocating, like, I don't know, Daniel Cohn-Bendit, Joschka Fischer, United States of Europe. Because I think...
Where did we make the mistake in integrating Europe, in getting Europe together?
This may surprise you, but I think the mistake is that, not that Europe wanted to be, as your president, if I understand him correctly, claims, you know who is your president. The guy in front of whom it's better not to leave your pen. No, that guy, not as he claims, too strong Europe, they want to... Europe was not conceived as strong enough entity. Yes. We have two alternate visions of Europe now. Either the Europe of this Brussels purely technocratic union, or conservative counterattack, more stronger national identities, and so on and so on. I think that what opened up the space for this anti-immigrant populist nationalist trend is precisely that Europe was defined by those in power in two purely technocratic terms. Europe should not be only economy, it should also have embody a certain radical emancipatory potential. Because, as I like to say, the big choice today, to put it bluntly, is either Anglo-Saxon neoliberalism or the new, what we poetically call capitalism with Asian values, which means authoritarian capitalism. Well, frankly, I wouldn't like to live in a world where this is the only choice. And Europe, weak as it is, It doesn't know what it wants, and so on. Maybe there is still a hope that something new, something which will be a vision of a new society which is neither simply neoliberal nor authoritarian, will emerge. One has to... We live in desperate times. As I already said, and you pointed out, I don't offer clear solution. Once I even mockingly described myself as a magician who is all the time dancing with the hat, but the rabbit never emerges from the hat. No?
When one reads your articles or listens to your speeches, one can hardly fail to notice that you very often refer to movies. Why do films inspire you so much? Why not literature or music?
There are many reasons, but the main reason is I'm more and more convinced that if you want to get a direct grasp of where do we stand today ideologically, it's movies, it's Hollywood. You get there today's ideology in a cleaner, more distilled form than in reality itself.
But you could easily say that what you see in a cinema is an illusion, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, now I would have to go into psychoanalytic theory. For me, truth has the structure of an illusion. You know what? It's nothing mystical that I mean by this, but you remember how, for example, let's say that I have certain secret desires. I'm ashamed to put them openly. Let's say that someone tell me, write a story. There, because it will appear only as a fiction,
yes.
It will be possible for
not
me to openly say a confession. You know, if it's not attributed to you, it's much easier to tell the truth. There is something like this with cinematic fiction, I claim. It's really, you get everything. And precisely not in serious dramas. Like my big examples are Kung Fu Panda or these horrible films of the last year, like King's Speech, which is, the whole film is about reasserting paternal authority.
Do you know any Czech or Czechoslovak film directors you would...
Crazy. They were my first great love, and I think it's a great example of how, although I admire Hollywood, of how the West can destroy you. I'm of course talking about Miloš Forman. My absolute hit are still his three: Black Peter, Lasky, Plavolasky, and then that Fireman's Ball.
Fireman's Ball. Yes.
This is the work of a genius. Then I still like his first American film, Taking Off, because she tried to read American middle classes through the Czech glasses. It's the same universe and it works wonderfully.
But it didn't work in the United States. I think it was a disaster.
That's the
commercially.
I don't like Amadeus. It's just commercial. Yes. I don't like One Flew Over Cuckoo's Nest. And it's not only Forman. It's the same with Krzysztof Kieślowski. His, even if they were shot under horrible oppression of Jaruzelski, his films from the 80s, Decalogue and so on, Blind Chance, are, I think, much better than those soft pornographic films. He basically, I will be very cynical, Kieślowski, shot them to be able to seduce the beautiful actresses, Juliette Binoche and so on. No. I think that this is maybe paradoxically, no nostalgia for real socialism, but this is maybe the greatest tragedy of the fall of communism, that in those oppressive constellations, nonetheless, there was something which solicited true art. And then people thought wrongly, oh, now we have freedom, all the oppressed spirituality will explode. No, it didn't.